This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Lord, I thank you for mercy. I thank you for the door that you are given. I thank you for mercy due. I thank you for mercy due. I thank you for mercy due. Thank you for that which is coming from the womb of the morning. I thank you for that mercy due from the womb of the morning, where you have your youthfulness. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Son of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this great grace. Thank you, Son of God. Honor you, Son of God. Glory to you, Jesus. I follow you, Jesus. I yield to that angel that you have appointed to minister with me. Thank you for that angel that is standing behind me, beside me, ministering with me. Helper of my joy. Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for your angel that is walking amidst in this congregation, bringing forth healing, deliverances, restoration, refreshing, restitution of all things, and remission of sins. Thank you, my Father. Honor to you, Son of God. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let the people of God say a big amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I've been talking about silent matters. As I say, that the day that is upon us is the day of the Father and the Son. Is the day that is upon us as his people that are falling to know the Lord. The day of the Father and the Son. We have enjoyed the days of the Holy Ghost, where Holy Ghost was the center stage. And we have enjoyed so much the day of Christ. It's not meaning that Holy Ghost and Christ are not going to be ministering. But really, really, the person that wants to minister to us is the Father through the Son. The Father is the one ministering. And the person that is ministering is a being that likes to be in the secret. That's his nature. Now, the Father is different from the Holy Ghost. And the Father is different from Christ. But the Father, which is in secret. Jesus was upon the earth here and said, the Father, which is in secret. Jesus was here. And this Jesus Christ already has oneness with the Father. Because when you read John chapter 14, he said it when Philip asked him. Jesus Christ is always talking about Father, 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 Father. Hardly will you read any page in John that you will see Jesus Christ talk about the Father. Go and check it. Chapter 1, they talk about the Father. Chapter 2, every time they talk about Father, 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 Father. So it came to a time, by the time they arrived in chapter 14, Philip just say, show us the Father. He survives for us. One of the things that connotes the season of the Father is the season of all sufficiency. He said, for he suffices for us. That word suffices for us that he said there is that he's sufficient. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, for he survived for us. That survived is sufficient. The Father is the realm of all sufficient in all things. And you saw that Paul introduced this operation in 2 Corinthians 3. Paul introduced concept of sufficiency in all things. He also introduced it in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. So their word of sufficiency. You call it, this is the realm of having all sufficiency. It's different from the season of Christ. If you want to understand this operation, season of the Father is the season of children of Israel when they begin to enter the land. I'm talking about if you want to look for a physical case study to capture it. This is in the spirit, but to capture it in the realm of the physical, that happened to a church, a type of a church. We are a spiritual Israel. We are church in the spirit. There was church in the wilderness. So, which were Israelite? The realm of the Father is when Israel began to enter the land. And you know, they entered the land not only in Cana. When you read the book of Number told them, you see that God told them to have 6 cities of refuge. 3 was before the river, and 3 was in Cana land. So, Cana land is after Jordan. So, they began to calculate the land of Cana after Jordan. But before Jordan, that is also promised land. So there's a promised land before Jordan. Canaan land, really, Canaan land is the dimension, if you are dividing the realm of God or the realm of the Father, is the realm, Canaan land, to really be what they call the true God, where the inheritance before Jordan is the realm of the living God or living Father and true Father. So, you see that Jordan was second way. Just like Red Sea was the first way. And the next way was Jordan. So, Jordan represents the way into most holy. So, Canaan land is most holy land. Where the inheritance that they had before Jordan, which 2.5 tribes took off, is God. And half of Manasseh took their inheritance before Jordan. But God gave them a commandment that they should settle their children and their wives. But all the men of war should cross over with the remaining 9 tribes they have to go and fight with them. So that land is typified by the realm of the true tabernacle. Because that's where where they dwell. And that's where God allowed the tabernacle to dwell. Tabernacle did not come into the other side of the river. I'm talking about the tabernacle that Moses built. It was at the other side. So know that Jesus is a true minister. Jesus is the minister of the sanctuary. And Jesus is the minister of the true tabernacle. So the true tabernacle represents the land of Canaan. But beyond that land, there is also other side of the river. In fact, when you read Joshua, you kept on hearing that word, at the other side of the river. They use that word again and again, severally. And Joshua, thereby you shall know that the living God is among you. That he will without fear drive out before you the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Hivite and the Perizzite and the Gezerite and the Amorite and the Jebusite. So you can see that who was amidst them? The living God. So there was the living God is among you. So by the time from the other side of the river, they began to experience the living God. So the living God was with them to enter into the Canaan land. Which is really, the Canaan land is the land of the true God. So by the time they got from the land, so they exit the wilderness. When they exit the wilderness, they met the first land. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gigal, in the east border of Jericho. So Jordan was like the second way. The vintage most holy. In the realm of the Father is the realm of all sufficiency. So one of the things that you will see when they are talking about the land, he said the land you're about to go in is a land that is watered. It's a land that has abundance. It's a land that has ease and valley and drinking water of the rain of heaven. Was describing them. He said, he has everything in abundance. I'm going to talk about that the season of the Father is the season of all sufficiency. When it's all sufficiency, it's not only Aslan, it's also a land. It's a land that has all sufficiency, both spiritual things and physical things. If you enter into that land, which is different from things that characterized the day of Christ. The day of Christ, they are rational things. In the day of Christ, they have to go in the morning to go and fetch manna. If you don't go and fetch manna at early time, by the time you get there, the sun will have met the manna. So the season of Christ is not the season of abundance. Many times they have to walk for 3 days before they will find water to drink. Because that's that they design those periods in the wilderness. It's not the season of sufficiency. You see, you might be hearing it, but you may not have entered that season. You must know that. And that's why you must fulfill requirements that is in your own time. Because you can be declared. God will never wait for you. God does not move everybody at once. Just like I told you, it was the two tribes and half received the land before Jordan. So everybody does not enter into realm of the Father or the land of the promise at once. We enter at different time, according into our response to God. That's why everybody should hasten to enter into the season of the Father, because it's the realm of all sufficient. Things are insufficient. I'm going to tell you, sufficiency of things is the tests, the temptation and the trial of that day, of those seasons. In the season of Christ, you may not have so much money that sometimes you are almost living hand to mouth. But it made you enter into the season of the Father. Everybody will not be a billionaire. But one thing I know that characterizes that thing, you will have sufficient. Because they mark that season with some tests. Temptation for you to pass. Sufficiency is marked with temptations around you. You'll find the churches that entered to that season. In Book of Revelation chapter 1, one of them was like this. They said, for you said you have gold. You said you are rich. The season of the Father is that you also have plenty of knowledge. He said it. As well as I live, said the Lord, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth, what I cover the sea. Because it's the season of the Father. So one thing that characterizes the season is sufficient. All sufficient. In all things. Always. One thing that told me that the wineskin must change. Which is recalibration. Because there's evidence that what you have learned, if you have followed skinly in the season of Christ, you may want to carry that same heart attitude, that kind of same mindset into the season of the days of the Father. They are different. That's why immediately they began to enter that thing. The first thing they told them to do that, they had to circumcise them the second time. That circumcising the second time is to recalibrate them again the second time. Because what they came out in the wilderness, they can still carry that. And you don't carry that into the season of the Father and prosper well with it. The same kind of attitude to meeting. The same kind of attitude to worship. The same kind of attitude to service. The same kind of attitude to what? Obeying God. You cannot use those things you have acquired. You can't use that same thing because, why? If you are not careful, the land you are entering has things that eat its inhabitants. There are things there that eat its inhabitants. A big amen.
Amen.
The season of the Father. When a man moves into the era of the Father, a man fully moves into, I call it the Father's economy. When you move into the Father economy, the economy is not money. Economy means you move into the Father activities. You move into the Father's riches. You move into the Father dealings. In that place, it's a place of sufficiency in all things. You have sufficient temptation. You have sufficient trials. You have sufficient sufferings. You have sufficient money. You have sufficient health. You have sufficient healing. Joker was teaching that. So you remember that story of that young rich ruler. John Yuka came to him and said, he saw that this man was a young man. I thought it was a young man. I have money. But this man does not have physical money. I'm a ruler. But this guy is not even occupying one of the rulers in Israel. He's also a king somewhere. Because he talk about the kingdom, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. So he came to him and said, good master, what can I do that I may inherit eternal life? And that was verse, what can I do that I may have life? After Joker said, why calling me good? And Joker said, go and sell everything. That way he left sorrowful. Joker now turned his disciple. Peter turned to Joker and said, good, that can be saved. He'll be a good man. Joker said, no one has less father, mother, houses, land. Because the time you are living is the time of living houses. Those are the times where you are in sin of Christ. You have left houses, land, sister, brother, father, mother. He mentioned everything they are left. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come. Look at the way Mark render it. And just answer and say, verily I say unto you, there's no man that have left house, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land for my sake and the gospel. But shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren, sister and mother, and children and land with persecutions. So you not only receive hundredfold house, you also receive hundredfold persecutions. So I'm not going to tell you that here is the realm of the Father. It's not that now you're going to have 100 houses. That's not what he's saying. The word hundredfold, they mean when you put something and you take hundredfold, that means you have taken it sufficient. It's all sufficient. Hundredfold is sufficient. So the dimension of the Father is a time of all sufficient in all things. That's why it's dangerous. That's why they must have dealt with you very well before they move into the realm of the Father. Because if you come with anything to the realm of the Father, they also multiply in all their fold. If you are not dealing with them. So it's the realm of the Father, the day of the Father, the season of the Father is a season of all sufficiency in all things. All things. Things spiritual, things natural. Because that thing's natural, wonderful. It is your own temptation. That's a trial for you. So when you enter that day, you must know that the way you have used things in the season of Christ, it's not the way you are to use them in the season of the Father. If you're a person, you are used to storing up beyond necessary. If you're not careful, you are going to enter trouble in the day of the Father. Because you're going to end up becoming the rich fool. Because when you talk about the rich fool, they say, the land brought forth plenty. And others say, it brought forth in abundance. That's it. Before this time around, the Islam had never brought forth this kind of measure. But they don't know that it was a setup. Because everyone tries the heart. Now, I've been talking about salient matters in the days of the Father and the Son. Because of that, you must be men of Issachar that understand their timing and what you should be doing. So you must know that the day of the Father, you move into the realm of all sufficiency in all things. That's the thing that catalyzed the day of the Father. But I tell you something, we can be preaching it, but that does not mean that by God's dealing upon you, you have gotten there. Because you can't compare to a man that has been obeying God on this thing for 25 years. And you that have just been hearing the thing for 25 years. If the man that has been obeying God for the past 25 years consistently, he has never stopped obeying God. Definitely you can't compare you that started obeying in 5 years. Though you don't need 20 years to cover up what he did for 25 years. Holy Ghost know how to calculate it. Because why? When he was obeying for those 20 years, there are amount of lights and amount of power that was driving those things were not as strong as what it is now. You'll find that same operation that what I'm trying to teach. You'll find the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation from chapter 6 and 7 to 8, they were ministering Christ. the seventh seal, up to the sixth trumpet, we are all Christ. And in the seventh trumpet are the seven thunders. So what the seventh seal owed was the seventh trumpet. What the seventh trumpet owed was the seventh thunder. And what officiated the seventh seal and the seventh trumpet, especially up to the sixth level, was the right hand of he that is on the throne. What they were giving were things of Christ, but the power behind it, the thing that was driving it, was everlasting arm. So what Christ will do to a people that have come into Christ, which we are in the churches, was they came into it most steadily, and they bestow a lot of labor compared to the mass multitude that were harvested in Revelation chapter 7. That multitude. You saw that it's 144,000 that were sealed. Amen. So those ones, they see that their own journey is there for this multitude. So the power that did a lot of work on the great multitude, that power brought them to become Christ. How do I know they were Christ? They all had in their hand palms. That means they have arrived before the throne of God. And that throne of God is in his temple. They have arrived at the golden altar. They crushed everything from the without the camp. The camp, outer court, holy place program for them. In that seventh seal and the sixth trumpet. They crushed it for them. They brought them into the temple to come and hear the seventh trumpet. Because the seventh trumpet is signified by the horns of the altar. Because the altar has horns. Is that the horns of the altar? So they work out separation. They work out sanctification in them. They purify them. Until they have made their garments. Their garment was white. They made their rope. They call it rope white. White in the what? Blood. They make it white in the blood of the Lamb. So you can see that what the seal and the trumpet make open was a provision of the blood. They make it blood. And you know that it's only two altar that takes blood. In the altar court and the what? Holy place. The altar that takes blood is called brazen altar. And the altar that takes blood in the holy place is called golden altar. So you can read that book, say they have made their robe white in the blood of the Lamb. That means they went through the two altars. They kept appointment with the altar. That's why I said that when they say they are before the throne of God. And the throne of God, we know that what's before the throne is the golden altar that is before the veil, the second veil. And it is the what? It's the brazen altar that is facing the veil or the first veil in the altar court. So they went through the working of the twin altar. And also there's another altar that is outside the camp. They don't allow the altar to come into the land of Israel. Hebrews chapter 13 spoke about that altar. He said that altar, no priest is permitted to eat from it. If those who minister on that altar, whenever you go to offer that altar, you have to stay from morning to night there. Then, after you stay, they have to wash you. And you stay for 7 days before you come. That altar is where they offer the body of the animal that they brought his blood into the sanctuary. Hebrews 13. For we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat. We serve the tabernacle. So you can see that there's an altar Wherefore, they have no right to eat. We serve the tabernacle. So the tabernacle was, according to that Hebrew 8, it's a shadow of the true tabernacle. So the altar, they that serve the tabernacle. The tabernacle is the dwelling of God in the midst of his people. You remember the book of Revelation? Now, behold, the tabernacle of God is now with man. He shall dwell amidst them. So when you get the word tabernacle, it's the dwelling of God amidst his people. God dwells amidst his people. So God put his tabernacle amidst the people of Israel. He also put it in Shiloh, in Ephraim. Then he moved from Ephraim and moved it towards Jerusalem or in Zion. So what brought forth that oppression was everlasting arm. But what that everlasting arm officiated through the seal and the sixth trumpet was Christ. Because trumpet is Christ. And the seed was Christ. But the power, the being that was the oppression, the administrations behind it, the person that was abusing was the Father. He that sat upon the throne. But to us that we are being prepared presently, the being that's officiating the things of Christ to us is the Spirit of truth. You must understand the ways of God. Because if you don't understand the ways of God, when you pray amiss. Because how you pray, when Jesus came to the disciples, he said, teach us how to pray. They didn't say, teach us what to pray. It's how. How is manner. How is ways. The more you get older, in physical age, you understand that life is about ways. Because you understand, you look at 10 people. Somebody can come out with first class, and a guy come out with pass, and pass made more money than first class. The first class notebook. Yeah, yes, it's plenty. It's plenty, especially in a nation that things work well. And abroad, you find a lot of guys that design a lot of software, but most of them leave university. Later is when they went to university. So you understand that what that person has, the person that came with first class, he knows book is intelligent, but he doesn't have ways. Because wealth is a way. There's a way of wealth. And everything in life is way. And why things work and things don't work is because of ways. So knowing these become very, very important to a people that desire to please God. And when they come to God, God's way are not stereotype. In fact, Romans chapter 11 said, his ways are path finding out. So I was telling you something, that God administered Christ through the Spirit of truth to us that are hearing revelation. But Revelation chapter 5, 6, and 7, and 8, was they ministered the things of Christ through everlasting arms. He was the Son, he was the Lamb that was administering things of Christ. But to us in the church, the person that has been assigned to minister the things of Christ to us, John guy said it in John chapter 14, he said it in John chapter 16. I be it. I have many things I want to tell you, but you cannot bear it. I be it. When the Spirit of truth is come, he shall take a man and show it what?
Yes.
He will guide you at what? And lead you to what? Our truth. So it was full of truth, that one. But he now says something about the people that are in the war. He said, this is not truth, which the world cannot receive, because they seeth him not. But he shall be in you, and shall dwell in you forever. So when you look at the book of Revelation chapter 6, 7, and 8, it's not the Spirit of truth that was administering the things of Christ. Because the world can't receive, because he went into the war. Say, from every nation, every language, every tribe. And some Christians are in the church. But they were still in the war. We have many Christians today that are in church, were in the war. They carried the war into the church, and the war that they brought into the church was not being reconciled. People brought their war into the church, but they are not being reconciled. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. They're supposed to be reconciling the war. So they didn't reconcile the war that is on their inside. The war of sin, the war of ungodliness, the war of what they lost. That's in them, they were not reconciled through the ways of Christ or through the secret of Christ. They could not get rid of worldly lust inside of them. They could not get rid of ungodliness on their inside by submitting to the doctrine of Christ, which is the ways of Christ, so that they can become A new man. A new man that is recreated. So you can see when they talk about those people in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, say, for these are the ones that have made their robe white. They were recreated. They made them white. Their robe. What's their robe? Their robe is their soul. They make it white. Made them white. So made. When you made a sin, the sin went through process. If it's made, then it's a process. They made them white. And what did they do to make them? In the blood of the Lamb. Peter called that blood of the Lamb the precious blood of the Lamb. In Peter 1, he called it the precious blood of the Lamb. I said, charity is a word of preciousness. So you know that they moved them into the zone of pressure because I laid in Zion what? A stone, a foundation, a tri-stone, a precious cornerstone. So a precious cornerstone is a stone of charity. That's a stone that has arrived at the blood. What is blood? Blood is brotherhood. Say that, church.
Blood.
To arrive at bloodline in Christ. To arrive at bloodline in Christ. Charity is designed to make your soul white. Or charity is designed to make my soul precious. Not just tried. Hope will make my soul tried. That's why in that word of Christ is a word where they apportion things. It's not in the word of sufficiency. That's why it's a word that they apportion it and they doctor things a lot. To bring your soul into a place where your soul is precious, where your soul is white. Your soul cannot be white if you don't obey program of faith, program of hope, and program of charity. When you see a charity soul, you know that that soul has been washed in the blood. That means the blood what every soul that have arrived in charity is using as life. They are using the precious blood of Christ. Charity is a blood material. Charity is bloody. What I mean by bloody? I mean it carries life. It's life. It carries life. Blood is life. The life of the flesh is in the blood. You mean life. And that is where we become brothers. Another word for brother is called neighbor. Brethren must be more brother to you than your biological brother. So long as your biological brother is brother to you than me, you have not arrived in charity. You are not yet precious. You are not yet precious. Your soul have not been yet made white. Because to be made white means we must all carry the same resemblance in the spirits. That would say they have made their robe white in the blood of the Lamb. That means these people have arrived at the altar of the sanctuary. Because the altar of the sanctuary was given to four brothers to manage with their father. Golden altar was given to Aaron and his sons. And the four sons are brothers. If you don't believe in brother life, if you don't believe in life of brotherhood, if life of brotherhood is not passionate to you. Disciples of they came to Jesus with his mother of Jesus. They said, your mother and your brother, they are without. So my brother and my mother are not without. My brother and my mother are not outside. You are not a brother. You are not yet precious. Your soul has not been made white in the blood of the Lamb, when or blood of Christ, when you are not using charity property in your soul and on your heart and your mind and in your person. So they came to Jesus, your mother and your brothers, they stood without, desiring to speak with you. But he answered and said unto him, that told him, somebody came in, he was inside with his disciples. And they said, your mother and your father, they refuse to come inside. They are outside. They said they want to see you. Jokai said it. He answered and said unto them that came to tell him, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? So that was my brothers. And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold my mother and my brethren. So, Joka is here. His soul has become white. You see, this thing, you can know it. And it's not by talk. Who are you people that you are with most and you feel at home? You must examine this thing, because I'm talking about, they don't want to move into the scene of the Father. Nobody will come into the fatherhood abode or the fatherhood war or the fatherhood economy if he's not the brother of Jesus. The Father don't bring you in. The people that come to the Father are, because it's in him. The people that you can access the word of the Father. First Peter called them obedient children. 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto all they did minister the things which are now reported unto them that preach the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which the angel desire to look into. Wherefore, guide up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children. These people they call obedient children, all brethren. They are all brothers. They are not children. They are not babies. Not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance. So you can see that before they became obedient children, they used to have former lusts. What's former lust? They have the lust of this world. They have ungodly soul. But something has happened to them. Their soul have been washed through what? Charity. Brotherly love. So Joka told them, this is my mother, you are my mother, you are what? You are my brethren, my brothers. And heaven will bring you at different points of your life to know if that conversation is your life. So there's a conversation of brotherhood. I say charity is not the conversation for outsider. And I use the word, it's not conversation for those who are living on your streets. It's the conversation of those who are living your neighbor. And your neighbor is not person as beside you. Your neighbor is those who are living together with you. You are under the same roof. It's not physical roof. Under the same tutelage of the Spirit of Truth. You are together in Christ. And there's something you cannot maintain the conversation of brotherhood. If you want to be alone, some of us we like to be a solo person. Different things have happened to you. Anything can mess up your life, but that thing that wants to make you to be alone, that thing that wants you to be make you to just be on your own, that thing that will not make you to flow with your brother, it is not Christ. Don't hide it. No Christ, no soul that are truly, if you have heard him, you have been taught by him, and you have learned Christ, you will not be comfortable. You can be like that, you might be raised like that, but you're going to go against it. And you can hide it under religious cloak and say that I'm not deceived. When you see a man that has learned Christ, a soul that has learned Christ, a soul that has worked upon him, in Christ, give us liberty. They said that only use not your liberty as occasion of unto sin. Galatians. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. This was that same condition. Stand therefore in the liberty where Christ has made us free. You cannot learn Christ and you have arrived at the blood of Christ. You have arrived at the altar. You have gone to the first altar and you arrived at the second altar, the altar of the sanctuary, and you don't secure your liberty. So you don't secure your liberty until you have done charity. Charity is what gives you your first liberty. Because liberty is a thing you stand. You stand in your liberty. You will stand in the liberty. Your soul has a stand. And I saw a great multitude who cannot be numbered stood before the throne of God. You have a stand. That's the reason why when you are learning word of charity, you are learning to deny. Oftentimes, what you only deny is not only of your sin. You must learn to deny your makeup. You must learn to deny your arrangement that you are wired with your inside. You must learn to deny. You see, nobody that wants to enjoy liberty that wants to stay in comfort zone. In my little world, we don't have discovered that. If truly you are being trained in charity, Mommy, I've said very time, there's no way. If what you like is to always hide in the corner, if you are obeying the Spirit of God will tell you, or yeah, go and sit in the street or where people that trouble you is most. That's going to be coming to you back to back, back to back. Because they want to secure for you a liberty.
Yes, sir.
Because something is what is choking on the inside. They want to break that thing on you. They will always tell you. If eventually your problem, they will tell you every time you finish service, they just go to that person, go and hug him. As I go, they go and they can give you 10 people you'll be hugging every Sunday. Because they want you to experience liberty. If you are not receiving those instructions, you are not changing. You will just say everlasting life. You will not enter there. You must know what to do in this season. It doesn't work. It does not work by prayer. It does not work by reading the Bible alone. It works by taking step of obedience.
Yes,
if he's telling you, you're a person that you have not learned to flow with brotherhood. To flow among brethren. Say flow.
Flow.
Even when you see blood, blood flows.
Yes.
They cannot wash you in the blood of the Lamb. You're not flowing. You must flow. Your soul must be a flowing soul. What's what make your soul not to be flowing? Then you have not been washing the blood. When you exercise yourself in the blood of the Lamb, you receive commandment. You receive instruction. Because what makes men not to flow is worthiness. Worthiness is not because you don't use earring. Worthiness is not because you don't palm your hair. Worthiness is not because you don't wear baggies. Those are not worthiness. Those are just our custom-made things that we put in place in church so that service can run very well. But that is not godliness. But one thing I know, everybody that has been taught of Christ, everybody that have arrived at the blood, because that point is very, very important for us to get to that point. Because we are knocking at the door, because until you are, your soul has been made white, feeling the spirit of adoption will not come to adopt you. Nobody comes to the word of the Father without the spirit of adoption. Romans 8. So it is the spirit of adoption that comes to adopt you. Or the spirit of adoption adopts you to convert you into a newborn babe.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And one thing the spirit of adoption will watch out for, it will watch out on how you have been made white or how you have been made precious in your soul. Because why? This is difficult to find such men. Men that see, men that their heart is open to their brothers. Men that are not holding anything against their brother. Men that are not holding anything against their sister. And it's not because their brother and sisters are perfect. It's not because their brother and sister are without fault. Because when you see in them this great multitude in Revelation chapter 7, they didn't say that without fault before the Lamb. Before they said that without fault, it was Revelation 22. That means, though they have made their soul white, they are still stains, but each other, what they are dealing with now is not fitness of the flesh. What they are going to walk in this way, they are going to deal with the fitness of their spirit. But when you use Christ, Christ will deal with all fitness of the flesh. And I told you, I said, one thing that fervent charity will deal with, I call it, I said, pride of life.
Yes,
so the beginning of fitness of the spirit is pride of life. So pride of life is a fitness of the spirit. That is the unclean thing. That's the beginning of the unclean thing. So a soul can be made white through obedience to the righteousness of faith to faith. Rising of faith to faith until that soul arrives at faith that worketh by love. Galatians, faith that worketh by love. You can't tell me you have faith without loving. That's not the faith of Jesus Christ. The faith of Jesus Christ work with love for your brother, with love for your sister. That's why you cannot tell me as a wife that you can't love your husband. That's why as a man, you can't tell me that you are not loving your wife. Why you are not loving your husband? It's because your husband has faults. Yes, I know. You may say my husband does not have sense. Oh boy, sister, you have sense. Thank God, you have sense. Let's use your sense, but your husband will have one too. You can say your wife doesn't have sense, but you have it. Let me use your sense until she will have it also. I'm not arguing with you. Because firstly, your wife is your sister. Paul said, don't we write like Cephas, which was Peter, and the rest of the apostles, to lead about a sister as a wife? So firstly, your wife is your sister. So who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? They that do the will. So what make you to come into the level of brotherhood or brethren? And the first level of brethren are those who have been washed in the blood of Christ. Is that you are a lover of the will. You are a lover and a doer of the will. But you know that will is calibrated into dimension. There's the will of the Lord. Colossians 1. The Lord will grant unto you the will that a man that just opens his eyes can do. Because there's another will that a man that just opens his eyes cannot do. A man that just opens his eyes cannot do the good, accepted, and perfect will of God. That one is those who want to offer reasonable service to God. Those who want to offer living sacrifice to God that can do that dimension of the will of God. But there's a will for those who have just opened their eyes. Those who are just giving them spiritual sense to do. Colossians 1 says, I pray when I heard of your faith and your love for this thing, I see not to desire and pray for you that we grant unto you the free will knowledge of his will. Say, not of his will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And what do you do is will to do? You may walk. You will walk. Walk. Take step. Don't stop mourning. Walk. What do you walk? Walk in faith. Walk in love. Walk in love towards your brother. Your brother's problem, let it be your problem. Your brother in adequacy, let it be your problem. If you fear your brother in inadequacy, what does John say? Because when you move into the world, because the world they are bringing you to is the world of the Father. What the 1 John chapter 5 said, who's last sees brother? When you see your brother commit sin, let's not do death. You shall ask and shall pray for him. That's your first response. And those are commandments or fervent charity. But you must start practicing now. Because that same commandment is the same commandment he gave to you to pray for your enemy. Like I said, yes, Matthew 5. So if you can't pray for a brother, it's what I take you before. You can't pray for your enemy. Because it's the same commandment. They are the commandment of the Father. Those are commandments that a man, that is the commandment of the Father, will do. You don't see your brother overtaking the fault. You don't see your brother commit a sin unto death and go and complain. Or and go and bite him. Or and go and be talking behind him, even speaking of your brother. Then it showed that your soul have not been made white. Because such things will defy your soul that it may be made white. So you have enough sense to know that that thing is not the appropriate response for such a thing. So you see that when you see your brother, his fault, you must forbear it. His fault, you must forgive it. Nothing bad for you to call his attention to it. But as you are calling his attention, you must forgive it. If you don't have strength to let go, it's good for you to talk about it. And sometimes, in your training, they will allow you to keep talking. After some time, when they want to give up your training, they will tell you, don't talk about it, and you have to die to it. It's higher learning. That's a program they tell you, talk about it. Whenever you see your fault, go and talk to my brother, my sister, you did this to me. My brother, I saw this about you. They give you, there's a room for that in your season of growth. Because that love, you have to do that thing until you arrive at what they call unfeigned love of the brethren. Unfeigned love of the brethren is what they call charity. It's unfeigned. That unfeigned means sincere love. But you can't do it without obeying commandments. Waiting that what I know will be more cool for you is commandments. Because the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and unfeigned. So one thing that catalyzed that season when you went to move into charity with unfeigned love of the brethren to make your soul precious, to make your soul be made white, is that commandment go plenty, my brother. But that commandment is not all sufficient. Just I'm not going to give you commandment or commandments. And your commandment is what you use your book of assignment to do. Or your assignment book. Every morning you wake up, you go over your book of assignment and go and start praying. God, you told me that my MD does not like my face every time, always raking on me. You told me to love him. God, what is the kind of love I must show you? And then God will tell you, so you notice that your MD does not have something. Yeah, go and buy him some jotter and write it and put it. My MD, I love you so much. It's not a celebrating birthday. So even when you bring it, look at it, why are you bringing this? Because after that, they keep giving you a commandment. 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 Because it is in making that covenant that they make your heart pure. Wow. Because you must attend pure. Pure heart is that they have made their heart white. They are standing. And they all stand. Great multitude. And it's not even easy to bring 30 people to stand together. Let them bring multitude. And they're not stepping on each other too. They watch over each other. Galatians 5, he was teaching about that. Whoever sees brother overtake in a fault. Galatians 6. Brethren, these are brethren, brothers. Brethren, brothers, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. So, you see, one person, but there are many brethren. So look into that issue. One to many. Brethren, if a man, just one man, to many brethren. I mean, many people should show interest in just one man's issue. If you see a man, ye that are spiritual. If you are not interested about that, then you should have your own spiritual. Yes, the response of every man is spiritual. Ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. It's just a one. A one in the spirit of meekness. So we cannot talk about Christ. A charity soul. We can't talk about charity soul without character of meekness. These are the states that we must be if we are going to be born, to be a newborn babe. Because the father's pleasure is to little flock, to little children. And it's interesting giving little children, little flock, the kingdom. But there is a state that we must be as a people that are calling on the father, a people that want to call on the father, a people that want to transcend fully. Is they want to bring us into the world of the secrets. The father who is in the secret. The father is in secret, but he sees if truly you are a brethren. And if you are preoccupying yourself with the conversation of brothers, because brethren has their conversation, and the conversation of brethren, the list of the brethren, because there are different brethren. He said, if I've done this to the list of my brethren, because there are least brethren. So brethren are in category. So, but the least point of brethren is those whose souls are precious. But there's another brethren called the fellow servants. And there's another brethren, there's brethren, the prophets. So in brethren, you find this level in Book of Revelations. One thing that will not make you or make us to keep the bond of brotherhood and the brethrenhood is if we are not meek. Meekness will make you to take the fall. Sometimes meekness will make men to wrongly even accuse you because they don't know your intention. They only judge and conclude based on your action. And you can hear things they say about you or things that they do to you based on your action, not on your intention. But meekness will make you not to break the bread of brotherhood. A meek man does not want things to get spoiled. Even if at the detriment of his own personality, even when his personal ego, pride is bruised, even when he's wrongly accused or they wrongly misinterpreted the things that he did. Yes, they only read his action, not his intentions. He will not be bitter against brotherhood. Meekness will make us not to have entitlement mentality. Because everybody can decide that a brother, hey, is a big birthday and everybody seems to be around him. They are giving him gifts. And when he's writing, he's thanking gift back. I thank you, my brethren. This community are so lovely and kind and tender. I thank you for your call. Thank you for your prayer. Thank you for your gift. Oh, I receive so many gifts. I love you. And he put the head of a kiss there. But your own is only, if I, out of all your brother and community, it's only 3 people that call you. And there's no any gift anywhere. And envy can come out. Like what happened to Abraham and Lot. the henchmen of Abraham and Lot fight. They were all brothers, so. Those men, they came with Abraham from all of Chadis. They are his brothers. And the one that came with Lot, because you remember, Lot was Abraham's nephew. Therefore, he was a son to Abraham's brother. So he followed Abraham with all his belonging. But he came to a time that the henchmen, they started fighting. They started fighting. That was say, for there was disagreement and the land was not able to bear them. It happened sometimes, you brothers, you are living together and the room is unable to bear you. Room can't bear you. From three of you in the room before, you now become six. Because three brothers have come to join you. From two sisters in the room, then four have come to join you. And everybody wants to be the first one to go and climb the bed to sleep first. Because when you are two before, the bed is, it can sleep up. But now that you are already five, the bed can only sleep maximum three. And the rest have to just run away. That was happened. Their one was land. Your one may not be land because you don't have one yet. Your own problem may be room. Your home may not be room. Your own is beans that is cooked in the pot. That beans can conveniently be able to serve, conveniently be able to eat. Only five people. So the land was too small to accommodate. So instead of land, consider your pot that you used to cook. Instead of your cook, consider your room. Just put that thing that you are sharing with brethren. The land, the cattle of Abraham and the cattle of Lot were eating from that land, but the land became strong. This was increasing. Or sometimes you are in the house, everybody has allocation of what they contribute. We don't share bill in the house. We don't share it equal. Those are training in the wilderness. Those are training of Christ. God told them that they should only gather manna for 6 days in a week. I'm saying this is not father. There's all sufficient. But you can see, I want to also establish it for you that it's a system that they regulate economy. They regulate everything around you in Christ. Because that's his own training. That's the man of his training. And you have an attitude that can regulate it very well. You must understand that process very well. So God told them, they must only harvest man. Why? God told them what you must take. He said, one armor to one person per day. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating. An armor for every man. It's not according to your appetite. It's not according to the largeness of your stomach. That means I need to have three armor. Me, I need three Congo of Gary to do my eba. When you have done three Congo of eba, what will the rest eat? Because the manna that came, God gave it according to the number that were in the camp. So if you take three armor, some of your brother in the camp will not have something to eat. So it was not a sin of sufficiency. It was mentioned that manna that fell, God knew the amount of it. If you take more than for yourself, it will show. The economy that God designed there is according to your need. God didn't put addition. God purposely did that. And God did that to train everybody to contain their appetite. God did it to make sure that you don't have unregulated appetite. God did it. He said, when you go there, God told them, make sure that everybody, every man is one armor. You can say, don't you see me? When I was in Egypt, I used to eat one buffalo. So my stomach is expanded. And how can you bring to this wilderness and not tell me to be eating one armor? Because in that place, they are teaching contentment. It's a law in Christ. It's a conversation. It must be common to everybody. Those things are designed to train all of us. But there were some brethren that when they got there, they took more than one armor. Immediately, they tried to keep it. Because we don't know tomorrow. The team began to bring warm. So if you keep more than you need, instead of Christ, you see, trouble will always happen. Something will come up because that is the economy of that time. You are not expected to have excess. Any excess you have is made for another person's problem. Because that season, you are not yet arrived in the season of the Father. It's not the Father that we move into realm of all sufficiency in all things. But in the wilderness, so they kept on giving them manna. One armor. Because the nation of Israel, in their journey with God, they have not moved into the season of all sufficiency yet. It's in the land. That land is flowing with milk and honey. It's a land that is water is flowing. It's a land that are trees. And it was a training because Moses complained that in Deuteronomy 32. He said, they have eat and grow fat. He said, just remember, go fat and kick against the Lord. Because it's a land that when you eat it, it makes you fat. If you have not learned to train your appetite, if you have not learned to contain contentment for you, if you have not learned those are lessons. Those are conversations in Christ. Those are conversations in charity. Those are conversations of unfeigned love of the brethren. So it's one armor per person. Nobody's permitted to have two armor. It's only on the sixth day they permitted everybody take two. Because on the seventh day, there will never be manna. So, and God told them, when you take two armor, that one you left behind, he will not be warm on that seventh day. So every morning, God will give them manna. In the evening, God will give them flesh. It was an economy. It was the dream of Christ upon the house. God wants to teach them love, charity, consider one another. Don't go to the field and pack everything. Consider your neighbor. Consider your brethren. Know that you are all under the same cloud. Don't pack everything and clear plates. You come, this is cooked. You just take what belongs to you, fill in the plate, and go and finish eating. But you are five. What is left? There's still 4 people can only feed 2 people. But you have eaten 1/3 of the beans. And they come, please don't finish. Oh boy, my brother, we just soak Gary. Why can't you be the one to soak Gary and leave it? These are conversations that must be in place for people that are calling the Father. The Father will never have any business with you if you're not wired like this. To him, that much is given, much is expected. When they give you more, they're expecting more from you. They say you're not ready to walk with God. The intention of heaven is to bring you to the world of all sufficiency, nothing. It will bring you to the world of the Father. And they are training you in that season to enlarge you where there's nothing that you cannot obey the Father for. Because the word of the Father, call it the God, the Father of mercies, the God, the Father of comfort. The way they introduce him, they were introducing, I see they are reading about the same person. 2 Corinthians 1, blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. And the God of uncomfort. They're talking about the same person, though. But they're talking about different aspect of him. So you can see, they call the God of comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. That we may also comfort them through that trouble by the comfort when we have received. Comforted of God. So that's just the last name of God of all comfort. But they also, it's also called the Father of mercies. And not the Father of mercies, it's also the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What the Father is to Joker is not what is to you yet. But it's a Father to you. But the kind of what he is to Jesus, our Lord, the way he's the Father to our Lord is not the same way he's our Father to us. Because our Lord Jesus has done all the will of his Father. But we are still doing the will of the Father. So the way he relates to our Lord Jesus is different the way he's relating with you. To you, he has to approach you as the Father of mercies. But he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you have to live as a God of all comfort. In your tribulations. When they were describing that, they said, he that gather much and he that gathered small, he said, and there was no lack. We must know that everything can't. What did I say?
Everything can't.
If you don't know this, please know this. Everything can't when you are trying to please the Lord. What you think does not count is what can't. They can't. Oftentimes, it may be even what you are thinking does not count as what count most. So, Exodus 16, 18. And when they didn't meet it, everybody supposed to take one armor. And to him that take armor, that has a big stomach, is small to him. You are expected that when he hits it, he will laugh lack. Because he has been trained in Egypt to eat 7 tin of rice. And his stomach has been wide. And this another person that he had only been eating half cup. So he said, when they did meet it with an armor, he that gathered much and nothing over. And he that gathered little and no lack. They gather every man according to his eating. That is a mystery. They told all of them to gather one armor. It's a regulated economy. But he that gathered small, to him. To him that is small, dear me, according to my appetite. This thing is small to my problem, my need. If you see what I need alpha. Times 10 of what all my stuff, what I need to, we cannot, my problem. But they did it in such a way that to him is small. But by the time he takes it, he does not have lack. He should have. Though they were dealing with physical things, but God was using it to train their soul. Oftentimes, there are some problems that you think you need something big. But when you are obeying God, the solution to that thing was not the one armor. The answer is that though you know you have a big problem, because you obey God, obedience turns something around. Obedience does not mean that that thing increases. Because to him, when he gathered it, it is small. He expected that there should be lack. But it is about obedience. It is about obedience. He should have lack. Because of the challenge he has, but they have regulated that he must not take more than one armor. And he knows that there should be lack. But he discovered that because he obeyed, he considered others that if I take more than this, some of my brother will have problem. Because of his heart attitude, because of his kind of mind, God did something. He said, he had no lack. And he that gathered much had nothing over. I know that there is another standard they are trying to communicate here. They are trying to communicate issue of obedience. It's beyond, I gather much, they are not sheer. Is that they put a commandment that everybody must not take more than armor. But you have to know that beyond where you are getting from, God's intention is to push every one of us to an economy in him. That if he said, since I was young and now I am old. One thing, I have never seen the law forsaking the righteous. That's the key. What is the righteous? He that is obeying righteousness. For he that doeth righteousness is righteous. That thing that they did is they obey righteousness. The standard that God set. I've never seen the law forsaking the righteous or not their children begging for bread. It's a principle that he that have gathered much and he that gathered little. He that gathered much have nothing over. And he that have gathered little does not have lack. That's the economy when you are in Christ, they want to teach you. You know, I said the economy of the Father is to teach you all sufficiency. But you can't move into the level of all sufficiency if you have not moved into it. Either you gather more, there's nothing left over. Neither you gather little and you have lack. So that I can see that I can be like Paul, say, I can do all things to Christ. What does Christ say? That strengtheneth me. Christ can strengthen you. We need to arrive at that place that Christ can strengthen me. We don't know that the love is of life in Christ Jesus can use it on the place. It strengthens you. Who strengtheneth me? Christ, who strengtheneth me? And in that strengthening is that I've learned to abase. So that when you do those things, there's no room for other things that you to do. But you will not know the strengthening power. There are things in Christ that you never be able to harness. So there are some things that you have to come into. I want you to begin to know some strengthening power. Because those things are in Christ. But you can live your life on earth. You never have it work in your life. And what matter in life, it's not anything. It is how much things I walked. How much things I walked to Christ that Christ will strengthen it to me. Do you know what it means for Christ to strengthen a man from within? Those are things that Paul was requesting for the church of Ephesus. For this reason, I bow my knee. But you may not pray it, but they can put in commandment to make what Paul pray for. By this of commandment around you to make sure you partake of that experience. Or whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that will grant to you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. So Paul was praying, but it's not only through prayer alone you can access that strength. You can access that operation through commandment that they weave around you. Christ has strengthened me by the Spirit. That's the Spirit of Christ. We must know this, that there are things heaven desires to bring us into. When you see a charity man who is a new creation man, a charity soul that have been made precious, the worth of that soul is what heaven are painstakingly work out. It's a labor of the Spirit of Christ. Labor of God, commandment upon commandment upon commandment. That's why when you are trying to be like this, you will not be rational. Because what makes you rational is your carnal mind. Sometimes if you thought something and you think that you are doing it, and it's back to back, the kind of commandment they are giving to you, the kind of instruction, you will do back to back. Because it's a season that they want to make so much strength available for your soul. That's when this church, Ephesians, got to this place. They wanted to move them into something. You're able to generate a cry for the Father. You need to have done commandment to have enough strength to generate. Have you seen a soul that don't have strength inside? Because you can't cry without strength. Yes, you can't call for spirit of adoption without strength. Yes, and it's not just in prayer. Prayer is good. Bible must read our chapter of Bible. We must attend meeting. But strength is come by commandment. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, this angel that exerts in strength, that does his commandments. The end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and faint on faint. When you do commandment, they strengthen you. They strengthen you for another commandment for you to do. When you shy away from commandment and you shock commandment, you become weaker. And that's what happened to the house of Saul. Saul became weaker and weaker and weaker. And David, a man after God's heart, who will do all his will, becomes stronger and stronger until the house of David become like God. If the house of David become as God, then as the angel of the Lord before him. God's people, the realm we want to assess, the domain we are looking at, is a domain that people that assess that domain are people that have finished the course of unfeigned love of the brethren. Now are you not lights in the Lord? These are the commandments they gave you to obey. Those who are light in the Lord. And you put on Christ. Or you are awake. Christ shall give you light. In Ephesians 5. Those who Christ is giving light to. She said the two primary pillar commandments you do in Christ is in two things. Your resources. And secondly, your time. And they put in that Ephesians 5, say, redeem the time. You must know how to use time for your advantage. You must know about time. Jokers understood what time is all about. You see Jokers as if Jokers was raising against time. Jokers has deep awareness that he said, I walk while it is day. For the night cometh when no man walk. For there are 12 hours in the day. Jokers know what to do with time. Jokers doesn't have to while away time. Those two things, they are first thing that everyone wants you to redeem. Even in the Old Testament, this is what they did for them. In the Old Testament, they told them that three times they must appear before God every May. Three times. You must appear before God. Imagine, some of them are living in the north post of Israel. Those there's no plane. So, and you cannot use us to ride into Jerusalem. They said three times so. And the feasts are separate apart. The first feast, you do it in the month of Abib. Then the next one is between June, 49 days after. You finish 7 days. After 7 days, imagine you finish 7 days. Sometimes you may need to travel for 30 days to go to your town, where you came from. And when you are doing that, every nation of the earth, you feel like I'm wasting time. Because it can even be that everyone that's not part of the first fruits or firstborn company, every second born that's not the one that opened the womb, they are doing their farming. Their cattle, they are giving them to go and drink and listen. You carry yourself because you are part of the one that opened the womb to come to Jerusalem. Every other people are busy with their business. You have to come to Jerusalem. Then when you come, they tell you after 50 days, you have to come back for Pentecost. For another 7 days. When you come for Pentecost, which is 50 days after Passover, then you have to come for the Feast of Tabernacle. And when you come for the Tabernacle, you're going to stay for 21 days. The Feast of Tabernacle is 21 days. They first have the first 7 days, which is the Feast of the Trumpet, 7 days, they're going to bring it up. Then you enter another 14 days or 21 days. And every firstborn out of Israel will say, God, you are not fair to the firstborns. You want to kill us? But they're the firstborn. God wants to demonstrate the excellence of his strengths, like Reuben. God wants to demonstrate his dignity. Such is the company of the first fruit company. Those who are going to share in the first fruit of the Spirit. And your lot, your destiny, is for you to fall among the first fruit company. Men that will partake of this reality first before the majority of people in the world will partake of it. God wants it to become your reality. When they brought forth Christ, they taught them Christ. In Book of Revelation 7, 8, I said, they did it in a short period. But you, one thing that you are going to use for what you want to teach you is time. God will make demand on your time. Not only to attend church service, not your time alone to pray. God will definitely make some critical demand on your time that you must redeem it. Redeeming it by using the commandments. Redeeming it by taking care of your brother. Using the time to attend meetings where all your colleagues, they pick 3 jobs. They do the one from 9 o'clock to 12 and they resume another one from 12 to 6 a.m. And you go home and feel that I can sleep. But God will tell you, this man, you're going to use this time here. You're going to get a job that you start by 8 and close by 6. And the rest of the time, I and you must keep appointments. I say, God, at this kind of time, I won't have enough to take care of myself and my wife. God will say, learn to abase. If we take you to stay in just 1 bedroom or 2 bedroom, keep managing it until I come for you. Consider, this time, I'm not even using all the time to attend church. It's not about attending church. It's about God wants you to learn to redeem a time. He is not that created it. And he should be the one to determine what that time is used for. Yeah. Those are trainings in Christ. They want to take time from you. You are not the one that will manage that time. That time governed by the law of life. Also, they read that time by not thinking time is passing me by. All my mates at the age of 40 has built their second house. By the time they are 50, they have bought their land. What am I using my time to do? They will say, you have to die to that timing. You don't use the time of man for your life anymore. Because a man that entered the most holy place is no longer governed by the time of the sun and the moon. Yes, the natural condition are no longer what you are subjected under. Abraham cried to God severally. Oh God, won't you do something about my situation? I grow childless. God said, at the process of time, we return. There's a time that God returns. And God return when timing of man, you stop running your life according to the timing of man. You won't see God's hand in your life until you are ceased from using the time of man to run your life. Because men calibrate their time because they are going to grave. But you are calibrating time because you are coming to liberty that you need to stand in. They must teach you how to redeem time. So people don't have understanding of that. They use that. In time, you must have understand time management. Redeem time is not time management. You use time to transact legitimacy. That means exchange time. Change your time from the time that is determined by sun and the moon. Because one of the things that sun determines time, they call it GMT. But there's another time in the sanctuary. When you enter under that covering, where sun and moon and star does not shine. Only what give time and what determine time there are the 7 candlesticks. Under that atmosphere, time is not what time used to be under the sun. When a soul like Levi cried in the book of Psalms, he said, I lose when I see the prosperity of the wicked. He said, until I enter the sanctuary, then I saw their hand. They will change what you know as timing. Time is that you are told that by 26, you will marry. By 27, you have your first baby. By 29, you have the second one. By the time you are 31, you have put the last bear. And by the time you are 32, you are ready to wear back your jumpsuit. And then you have returned back to the gym and everything. You are trying to go back to your normal shape so that all the shape can come out. And I say, nah, it's me and my husband. We are the one. It's good. I'm not against it. I love it. I love that you should go to gym and decide and return back to your shape after your third child. There's nothing about that. But you don't have that power, that time in your hands. Men that think like that are men that are still being governed by the law of the sun and the moon. The men that are still under the stars are there. When you enter the sanctuary, they put another time over you. you redeem the time. God become your time. You keep hearing one thing. At the fullness of time, I shall return. It's when God returns. I shall return. God returns at the fullness of time. And that timing is not one man under the sun called timing. It's God calculating his time. God told the children of Israel. God told them, your children shall be taken to the land. That's not their own land. They go to a strange land. Another 400 years, I will return and I will deliver them with an outstretched hand. But that time is not 400 there. It's about 430. God have a sense of his own time in the spirit. You are not too late. I say you are not too late.
Yes,
you feel by now, I should have done this, I should have done that, I should have done that. Think you want to attain by time, you are not too late.
Yes, sir.
You are just on time.
Yes, sir.
How do I know just on time? Because you are going to live very long on earth.
Yes,
I know they see death for your eyes.
Yes,
because you have said it with long life, Psalm 91. Will I satisfy you and show you my salvation? In book of Revelation chapter 8, they said, and there was a silence in heaven and half a time. When people were busy with activity, heaven was not doing anything. People were laboring on the sun. But to heaven, heaven wanted to be silent on the matter. And there was silence in heaven. Not even on earth, in heaven.
Wow.
Heaven was on break. Silence. Because why? The Lord is in the temple. Let every island be silent before him. You come to prison for your life like that. That you see the silence. Is it fasting? You are fasting. You have done what everybody know how to do. With silence, then you too, because change your time. And in that sense, that's what they happened because they were blowing the trumpet. Because trumpet is the sign of Christ. That means one of the things you come into in your journey of Christ is that they make sure that they expire time for Moses. When they felt that Moses would go to spoil the program, by the time he was 40, he came to his sense that it's time for him to return to his brethren. And go and deliver them because he have read the prophets of the book. That is not for prophets to be start falling down. He made the first attempt. They caught him. He ran away. And they made sure they took him to another place where he go to be under his father-in-law for another 40 years. It was when he was 40. Now I said, oh, yeah, come now. He said, I can't speak. But that was the time everyone was ready for him. When everyone is going to be ready for you. Because it must be that you can't take glory whatever he's doing with your life. When you walk with Jesus, when you obey Christ, when you obey the Lord of your life in that, you're going to put a start to what men call timing and now rule another time for you. You start another time. Your calendar is not according to your sibling that you came together. Let your sibling, let them have every they can have. But God is working on you. Every is designing something for you. God has not seen, nor yet, not that he entered to that to man. What God has prepared for you. And what God has prepared for you, you can't calibrate it with time, man's timing. Calm down. Because there was a time, there was silence in heaven. If everyone can have silence, you too on earth, you too need to be silent.
Yes.
He told the children of Israel, the Egyptian was pursuing them. And Moses cried to God, God, why are you crying to me? When they spoke about Egyptian, it was dark. It was very, very dark. But when you look at the children of Israel, it was bright. Because why? Imagine the night, when everybody's sleeping on their bed. That's when the children of Israel, they are doing their walking. Because in the night season, it's a pillar of fire in the night. Everybody's sleeping on their bed, but the children of Israel are journeying. When you are walking and when men are settling down, when God is taking you to take a step in the spirit, men are establishing themselves on earth. Men are taking places. Men are building edifices. But God is telling you, you walk with me. And you will say, God, how long am I going to walk? Are you not the time when you're walking? God says, I want you to walk. This is not the time for you to establish. This is not the time for you for settlement. Because you can't settle for less than what I prepared for you. When you settle too soon, you settle for less. God is the business of stretching. God's the business of stretching you to your limits. That's what I know God beats. God will make sure he stretches because you don't know what your soul can take until when they stretch you. Because your soul is elastic. They can put the whole war in your soul. We still take it and say, give me more.
Oh.
A man can gain the whole war. And we say, I still want more. I want more. God knows you. God created you. He knows what you can take. God can stretch and say, when you say, I go break. God says, you know they break. Now me creator. I'm the one that give the substance that frame you up. You know they break. Break for where? If you know what I put in you, I can stretch and stretch and stretch. I will stretch to your limits. But that is the power for you to be able to contain what I prepare for you. So when you are learning Christ, we read that heaven will teach you how to redeem your time. You won't be saying, I'm old because you are 35. God calibrate time differently, God's people.
Yes.
When you come into Christ, when you learn the truth of Christ, when you obey the Lord, the spirit of life in Christ, your former time is ceased. They open a new chapter for you. You don't think as a man that's running quickly to go to the graveyard. So when Moses was 80 years, sir, they told him, now, this is the time I need you. 40 years, when you think you are ready, you are not ready. This is the time. This is not the time. Because why? When you come into Christ,
They redeem you from the timing of flesh and blood. They connect to the timing of spirits. And this was also my brethren. These are what we hope. They are liberties of those who are obeying Christ and obeying his doctrines. They are obeying the truth that is in Christ Jesus. That truly we have that provision. And also, beyond the physical timing, when you read Psalm 91, he also said this. He said, in the time of famine, he will redeem them. So, to also redeem timing, when things are happening to people of the earth, it won't be for you. Because you are not in their timing. Because there's a time of casting down. When they are saying there's a casting down, because you are not in that timing, it's a time of being built up. That's why you must know. One of the reasons why you must stay to break it over in the time of men, because men have their timing and season. There's a time to be built. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. There's a time to plant. There's a time to uproot. There's a time for this. Someone that was talking was using a man for the wisdom of the head. And Joker said, the greater than Solomon is here. He that's greater than Solomon has another world entirely. When men say there's a casting down, that's when they say, then you shall say there's a lifting up. What is happening to everybody is that there's bellish economy. Because why? You are not obeying the time of famines of the earth. When they are mourning, that's when you are rejoicing. Amen. Then there's a calamity on the streets. Yeah, there's a peace in your tabernacle. Because why? Why? Because you are not operating the same timing. What makes you like that is you obey Christ. There's a law. The law that is in Christ. Because the law, the spirit of life in Christ, is that you obey it. You use it until you reconfigure your person. You become a new man. You become a new creation man in your soul. Not just in your spirit, in your soul. You will attract what conditioned you. You will attract what formed you. That's why. Because you cannot be formed by the love of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus and you are under the season of men that are flesh. It was the same flood that covered the inhabitant of the head. The same flood is what lifted a whole ark and floated. The same flood. The same situation. These are circumstances that are supposed to sink men. You see that you are rising above it. Why? Because you are operating by another law. These are reality in Christ. These are possibilities that you can experience in him when you obey him. These are liberties that are available for us in Christ Jesus. And this is the kind of mind, the kind of heart, the kind of attitude, the kind of conversation men that are calling on the Father must have. Anything short of this, the Father can't hear us. Everybody, we are using a calendar. Then God came into Egypt. And when God came to every calendar of Roman Empire and Egyptian that day, it was March. But God said, for this day shall be the beginning of another month, another year for you. When you commit to learn the doctrine of Christ, he stopped your former trend. He came into Egypt to deliver them from Egypt. He said, tonight is the beginning of another month. It was not the beginning of the month. It was the middle of the month. And it was in the month of March, April. God said, this shall be the beginning of a new month for you and a new year. God changed the color of your own nation by one encounter. It's just an encounter. Angel of death entered that land that day. And it brought a new date over your own nation. That means that their planting season changed from the way every nation plants. And their harvest nation changed. How can a world change the whole economy of a nation? They are not the only ones living where God planted them. But the word of God changed their climates and changed their weather. He changed the weather, God's word. By the reason of that proclamation, God changed the weather for them. It's going to be a beginning of a new month for you. This is the beginning of a new year for you. Because we are marking time. We call another time in this. We call it accepted time. In the accepted time, I've heard it. And the time I've accepted it, I've so called it. Egypt kept on using their time, you. But each one of Israel, that same night, he changed their time for them. It just changed their time for them. People say, who are they that compare themselves to themselves? If anybody should be comparing yourself, you should be comparing yourself with Christ. Not with men. Not even with your brothers. Because when you compare yourself with your brother, you'll be competing. You'll be competition. And it's against the nature of Christ. You compare yourself with Christ. And next time you compare yourself with Christ, you see hope. You see something else you can attain in Christ. And what you can attain in Christ is not what men call and men celebrate. You see the true life. God's people, I want you to know something, that I know your tomorrow will be better than today. Amen. I'm not only praying for you, it's what I know. I know that you keep getting better. And you can only become better. Amen. I'm better within and without. Amen. God is not playing with us. God means business with us. God. God is not playing with us. God means business with us. And we too can mean business with God. They that seek me shall find me. If they seek me with the whole of their heart. Get ready for a wonderful adventure in God. Devil could not close my mouth. It's too late. It's too late for devil to close my mouth. If devil close my mouth, I will close his mouth back. Mouth for mouth. Teeth for teeth. So you must know this reality and stand in the liberty that you have been called into. So this is the new wineskin we must wear. These are silly matter in the day of the Lord. If you are not yet like this, this should be your aspiration. These are the things you should be desiring to come into. Redeem time.
Yes, sir.
What is this time? Exchange it. Buy another time. Yes, buy another time.
Yes,
buy another time to use to run your life. When thoughts come to you, don't you see the way you are turning? You're already 50, you're already 60. Is this how you're going to continue? Say, this is my best life, and I see a better life that is to come. Don't close your mouth. Don't allow the devil to be talking to the one. When they talk, you to talk back. You are talking to his spirits. And they have ears to hear in the spirit also. Because I know the greatest fear of men is fear of time. If I don't do it now. In fact, you have a proverb, time wait for no man. But the beauty of my time, the time I cry, the time is not waiting, but you are keeping time in Christ. Time that does not wait for no man is the time of the head. When you move into the time of God, you recover all lost time. You recover times. Men recover times. When you move into the time in the spirit, you recover time. You will look at your 60 be better than your 30s. You will look at your 70 be better than your 40s. You will look at your 80, you are better than your 50. You look at your 90, you are better than your 60. Because you will have redeemed time. Because the way you are thinking, you are not thinking the way men that are flesh are thinking. Because the timing that is occupying that body is not the time of the earth. Sarah was 75 years old. They took her to Egypt. Her husband won her. When you get to Egypt, don't tell anybody that I'm your husband, I'm your brother. A 75-year-old woman. 75-year-old woman. Abi? And a young king saw and wanted to grab her. He happened to Job. I'm telling you, possibility that are in God. When a man walk with God. Job said, I know my flesh may be destroyed by a worm. It was cancer. Worm was coming out. He said, worm can eat my skin. Worm was eating his skin. He said, but I know my Redeemer lived there. And he said something. He connected it with time. I said, I will wait for my appointed time. And when God came for him, the Bible said, after Job was restored, his skin was not what he used to be before he had that trouble. If they could eat something in the wilderness, it was Christ though. It's Christ they are eating. I said, the Abana. They ate something that made, I said, no one was feeble and weak among them. Anybody that is feeble and weak in you, high blood pressure, that always you are taking drug, taking drug, taking drug. I pray for you. I break the power of high blood pressure in your life. I said, diabetes, enough! In the name of Jesus. I said, today, any suffering that is not of God, he sees in your life. The suffering should be suffering now, it should be suffering of Christ. Any that is not suffering of Christ, I say, enough is enough. Enough is enough. In the name of Jesus. The only suffering that is permitted in your life is suffering of Christ. Only be suffering for Christ. And suffering of Christ to deny you. Because I don't want to do this, then obey it. It's Christ. But in any affliction of the enemy, I say today, the end has come to them.
Amen.
I declare obituary to them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Whom God has blessed, nobody can curse him. I say you can't be cursed.
Amen.
I say you can't be cursed.
Amen.
Curse means limitation. Cost means limitation. That's what the cost means, limitation. Every area Satan has limited you, that the way Satan, he withstood Joshua the high priest to limit him so that he will not carry out the venture of grace. Everything that have limited you not to venture into grace, I say, end has come to them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I say, go forward. I say, go forward. I say, go forward. Go forward. Prosper in your soul. Prosper in your body. Prosper in your finances. Prosper in the words of your hand. Prosper with your children. Prosper in your academic. Prosper in the name of Jesus. All of you that are ignorant, you are bankrupt of what God is talking about to you. And the Lord is saying, I say, yes, your mind be open. Yeah. Your heart are open. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. I declare shout of grace upon you. Yeah. Shout of grace upon you. Yeah. Shout of grace upon you. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. I surround with grace. Yeah. I surround with favor. Yeah. I surround with mercy. Yeah. I say with mercy. Yeah. Show mercies of David. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Let the angel over this house, let him perform his word over you. I said, let him perform his word over you. In the name of Jesus. I said, your beginning will be small. Your later hand shall greatly increase. In the name of Jesus.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.